bottled vitamins. Do, however, choose your fast day foods with care, ensuring that over the course of a week, you consume adequate B vitamins, omega-3s, calcium and iron. Be sensible and eat well. While we're not fans of bottled vitamins and minerals, if a qualified health professional has suggested a particular supplement, you should continue to take it. Should I exercise on a fast day? Why not? In the interests of flexibility and normality, there's no reason to change your usual pattern of activity while fasting. Research demonstrates that even a more extreme 3-day total fast has no negative effect on the ability to perform short-term, high-intensity workouts or long-duration, moderate-intensity exercise. Athletes seem to suffer no loss in performance during occasional fasting. A 2008 study of Tunisian footballers during Ramadan found that fasting had no effect on performance. Each player was assessed for speed, power, agility, endurance, and for passing and dribbling skills. No variables were negatively affected by fasting. In fact, and this is worth noting if you're aiming for optimal fitness, training while fasting can result in better metabolic adaptations, which means enhanced performance over time, improved muscle protein synthesis, and a higher anabolic response to post-exercise feeding. Training on an empty stomach turns out to be beneficial on multiple levels, coaxing the body to burn a greater percentage of fat for fuel instead of relying on recently consumed carbs. If you're burning fat, don't forget, you're not storing it. As we've seen, one recent study found that working out before breakfast is beneficial for metabolic performance and weight loss. A report in the New York Times suggests that it even blunts the deleterious effects of overindulging, making fasted exercise a canny way of combating Christmas. According to the study's authors, our current data indicate that exercise training in the fasted state is more effective than exercise in the carb-fed state, certainly food for thought. Do not, however, increase your fast-day food allowance to compensate for calories burned through exercise. On a fast day, stick to 500 or 600 calories, whatever level of activity you choose. That's where the benefits lie. Are there gender differences in response to intermittent fasting? Clearly, men and women have metabolic and hormonal differences. For evolutionary reasons, we store and utilise fat in different ways. Women carry more fat, are better at storing it, and tend to be more efficient at burning it in response to exercise. Though few studies have been done, there is some evidence to suggest that fasting women have a better response to endurance training than weight training, while men may fare better with weights. Anecdotally, men tend to find working out on an empty stomach easier to accomplish than women. In terms of general health, the benefits of occasional short-term fasting for both sexes are pretty clear. Although quite a few studies have been done with male volunteers, others have been done with a mixed group, or with mainly female volunteers. Those in Krista Varady's studies have been almost all women. Michelle Harvey's volunteers, all women. Their results are striking and positive. Nevertheless, further trials are required to analyse the precise effects of fasting on hormones, particularly among women of different ages. As with all recommendations in this book, be cautious and self-aware. This is not meant to be a struggle. It's intended as a well-marked route to good health. If, for whatever reason, short bouts of fasting interrupt your cycle or your sleep pattern, modify your approach till you find a comfortable balance that works for you. Can I fast if I'm trying to get pregnant? The science is still unfolding, and there haven't been enough clinical trials to assess the overall effects of fasting on fertility. According to Professor Mark Mattson, an intermittent fasting plan, such as the fast diet, will not affect fertility. More extreme fasting may. It does in animals, but in a reversible manner. Nonetheless, we err on the side of caution and suggest that if you are trying to get pregnant, you should not fast, period. You should certainly not fast if you are already pregnant. Pregnant women should eat according to government guidelines and not limit their calorie intake. Who else shouldn't fast? There are certain groups for whom fasting is not advised. Type 1 diabetics are included in this list, along with anyone suffering from an eating disorder. If you are already extremely lean, do not fast. Children should never fast. They are still growing and should not be subject to nutritional stress of any type. If you have an underlying medical condition, visit your GP, as you would before embarking on any weight loss regime. Will I get headaches? If you do, it may be due to dehydration rather than a lack of calories. You might experience mild withdrawal symptoms from sugar or caffeine if you've dropped it, but the brevity of your fast shouldn't make this of particular concern. Keep drinking water. Treat a headache as you would normally. If fasting today is making you feel particularly unwell, stop. You are in charge. Should I worry about low blood sugar? If in reasonable good health, your body is a remarkably efficient and functional machine, capable of, in fact designed for, the effective regulation of blood sugar. Short-term fasting is unlikely to yield a hypoglycemic response. The recently propagated idea that we need to graze to avoid a blood sugar crash is a myth. If you follow the guidelines set out here and eat low GI foods on a fast day, your blood glucose should remain stable. But don't overdo it. If you fast for extended periods, longer than the bi-weekly 24-hour modified eating program recommended here, you may experience a drop in blood pressure, a drop in glucose levels, and dizziness. So fast smart. If you are diabetic, consult your doctor before embarking on any dietary change. Will I feel tired? Short-term, deliberate, modified fasting will not leave you beat. Some fasters even report an energy boost on the fast day. As in normal life, you'll undoubtedly have up days and down days, good days and bad. Anecdotally, many intermittent fasters we have encountered report a boost in energy rather than a depletion. See how you fare. You may find that a fast day ends earlier than usual. No alcohol and plentiful sleep being a great way to arrive at breakfast sooner. But will I go to bed hungry? Probably not, though it will depend on your particular metabolism and how you timed your fast day calorie consumption. If you feel hungry, take your mind off it. A bubble bath, a good book, a stretch out, a herbal tea. Get psychology on your side. Congratulate yourself on reaching the end of another fast day. Surprisingly, perhaps, fasters report that they don't wake up ravenous and run to the fridge as soon as the alarm goes off. Hunger is a subtle beast, and your appetite will soon find its rhythm. Will my body go into starvation mode and hang on to fat? Since you're not restricting calories every day, your body will not enter the fabled starvation mode. Your fasting will never be intense. It will only ever be conservative and short-lived. So while your body will burn energy from its fat stores, it will not consume muscle tissue. Research has shown that occasional fasting does not suppress the metabolism. Even extreme fasting, say an absolute fast for 3 consecutive days or on every other day for 3 weeks, generates no decrease in basal metabolic rate. Nor does intermittent fasting raise levels of hunger-stimulating hormones like ghrelin. Researchers at Pennington Biomedical Research Center in Louisiana found that ghrelin was unchanged in both men and women, even after 36 hours of fasting. So if you follow the moderate, judicious approach advised here, a short window without food is a scientifically sanctioned path to health and well-being. What if everyone around me is eating on one of my fast days? Participate, but with a nonchalant awareness. While support from family and friends is an asset, making a song and dance about your fast will only cause you to feel self-conscious, turning the diet into an obstruction, a hurdle, rather than something you should slot happily and calmly into your life. Remember your trump card. You'll eat normally again tomorrow. Some days, of course, are tougher than others. Naturally enough, you may find yourself feeling hungrier and less able to fast successfully when celebrating or attending events that revolve around food. If you know you have a social event in the diary, fast the day before or the day after. The flexibility of the plan explicitly means, in fact, it demands, that you still go to that wedding, birthday, anniversary dinner, christening, bar mitzvah, supper date, posh restaurant. Take a break for Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Diwali. Yes, you may well put on a little weight, but this is a life, not a life sentence. You can always deviate, eat chips and dips and things on sticks, and then revert to a more challenging fast once the party's over. What if I'm currently obese? Clinical trials have concluded that intermittent fasting is a sustainable and effective way for obese individuals to lose weight and keep it off. The larger you are, the greater your initial weight loss is likely to be. If you are obese, it's likely that for whatever reason, traditional restrictive diets have failed for you. The fast diet is different because of its flexibility, its war on guilt, and its express approval of pleasure foods on non-fast days. The Illinois studies have shown that obese people were quickly able to adapt to ADF. They were also able to maintain physical activity despite fasting. In conclusion, overweight and obese patients appear to experience significant improvements with IF regimes. As with any underlying medical condition, we recommend that you fast under supervision. Should I add a third day if I want to see accelerated results? As we wrote earlier in the book, there is good scientific evidence from trials run by Dr. Krista Varady and her team at the University of Illinois that volunteers who try ADF are able to lose significant amounts of weight, almost all of it fat. This form of intermittent fasting entails cutting calories for 3 or 4 days a week. And with Dr. Varady's protocol, the 500 to 600 calorie allowance is eaten in one mealtime, at lunch. The researchers found that this approach is generally well tolerated and that the volunteers lost an average of 5.6 kilograms and about 7 centimeters from around their waists. I'm already slim enough, but would like to enjoy the health benefits of intermittent fasting. Is that possible? If you are already at a reasonable, happy weight, you can still fast effectively, but consider adapting your consumption on non-fast days to encompass more calorie-dense foods. The main researchers we talked to in this field are all slim, and they still fast. With practice, you'll discover an amicable balance between fasting and feeding, which keeps your weight in the prescribed range. Fast once a week, rather than twice a week. There have been no specific studies to illuminate the effects of doing this, but use your common sense and watch the scales. Don't slide. As mentioned above, if you are already extremely lean or suffering from an eating disorder, fasting of any description is not advised. If in doubt, see your GP. Is it too late to start? On the contrary, there's no time to lose. The fast diet is likely to prolong your life. It will moderate your appetite and help you lose weight. Its effects are quickly felt, often within a week of starting your simple bi-weekly mini-fasts. It all points to a healthier, leaner, longer old age, fewer doctor's appointments, more energy, greater resistance to disease. Our advice? Start yesterday. How long should I continue? Interestingly, the Fast Diet's on-off eating scheme looks a lot like the approach of many naturally slim people. Some days they'll pick, other days they'll tuck into treats. In the long run, this is how the Fast Diet goes. As you settle into the routine, you'll naturally moderate your calorie intake on fast days and feed days, until the process is innate. When you reach your target weight, you can change the frequency of your fast. Play with it. But don't drift. Stay alert. Your aim is a permanent life change, not a blip, not a fad, not a dinner party chat. This is the long-distance route to sustained weight loss. Accept that it is something you will do, in a form that suits you, indefinitely, for as long as life.
The future of fasting. Where next? Fasting, as we mentioned at the beginning of the book, has been practiced for many thousands of years, and yet science is only just starting to catch up. The first evidence of the long-term benefits of calorie restriction were found just over 80 years ago, when nutritionists working with rats at Cornell University in the US discovered that if you severely restrict the amount they eat, they live longer. Much longer. Since then, evidence has continued to mount that animals not only live longer, healthier lives if they are calorie restricted, but also do so if they are intermittently fasted. In recent years, the research has moved on from rodents to humans, and we are seeing the same patterns of improvement. So, where do we go from here? Professor Walter Longo, who has done so much pioneering work with IGF-1, is running a number of human trials in conjunction with colleagues at the University of Southern California. He is looking at the impact of fasting on cancer. They have already demonstrated that fasting will cut your risk of developing cancer. Now they want to see if fasting will also improve the efficacy of chemotherapy and radiotherapy. Professor Mark Mattson of the National Institutes on Aging in Baltimore is adding all the time to the dozens of research papers he has already published on the effects of fasting and intermittent fasting on the brain. We are particularly interested to see the outcome of some of his current studies, which include looking further into what happens to the brains of volunteers when put on an intermittent fasting regime. In addition, his team is looking at drug therapies, as they know that despite the benefits, many people may not want to fast. So they are, for example, investigating a drug called Byetta, used for the treatment of diabetes, but which also seems to activate the production of BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. This, in turn, as we have seen, seems to protect the brain against the ravages of aging. The hope is that Byetta or a related drug will, if not prevent dementia, at least slow its progression significantly. Intermittent fasting has, until now, been one of the best-kept secrets in science. We look forward with a great deal of personal interest to seeing how this particular story unfolds.
The Fast Diet Eating Plan. Fast Day Cooking Tips. Feel free to bump up the quantities of leafy, low-calorie, low-GI vegetables in the recipes in the PDF. It's difficult to pig out on leafy veg, and if you need bulk, here's where you should get it. Roasted veg are tasty. Lightly steamed is best. Invest in a tiered bamboo steamer and cook your proteins and veggies in several health-packed, eco-friendly levels. As we've discussed, some vegetables benefit from cooking, while others are best eaten raw. Cooking certain veg, including carrots, spinach, mushrooms, asparagus, cabbage, and peppers, breaks down the cell structure without destroying the vitamins, allowing you to absorb more goodies. For raw vegetables, a mandoline makes preparation easy and swift. Fast days should be low fat rather than no fat. A teaspoon of olive oil can be used in cooking, or drizzled over vegetables for flavour. Or use a cooking oil spray to get a thin film. Nuts and fattier meats such as pork are included in the plans. Do include a light oil dressing on your salad. It means that you're more likely to absorb their fat-soluble vitamins. The acid in lemon or orange dressings means that you will absorb more iron from leafy greens such as spinach and kale. Watercress with orange, for example, is a great combination, perhaps scattered with some sesame and sunflower seeds or blanched almonds for a little protein and crunch. Remember, always cook with a non-stick pan to cut down on calorie-dense fats. Add a splash of water if the food sticks. Weigh your food after preparing it so that the calorie count is correct. Dairy is also included here. Choose lower-fat cheeses and semi-skimmed milk, avoiding full-fat yogurts in favour of low-fat alternatives. Drop the lattes and bin the butter on a fast day. They are calorie traps. Similarly, avoid starchy white carbohydrates, bread, potatoes, pasta, and opt instead for low GI carbs, such as vegetables, pulses, and slow-burn cereals. Choose brown rice and quinoa. Porridge for breakfast will keep you fuller longer than a commercial cereal. Do ensure that you get some fibre in your fast. Eat the skin of apples and pears, have oats for breakfast, and keep those leafy vegetables coming in. Add flavour when you can. Chilli flakes will give a kick to any savoury dish. Vinegars, including balsamic, will lend acidity. Add fresh herbs too. They're virtually calorie-free but give personality to a plate. Eating protein will help keep you fuller longer. Stick to the low-fat proteins, including some nuts and legumes. Remove the skin and fat from meat before cooking. Soup can be a saviour on a hungry day, particularly if you choose a light broth packed with leafy veg. A Vietnamese pho would be ideal, though hold back on the noodles. Soup is satiating and a good way of using up ingredients languishing in the fridge. Finally, use agave as a sweetener if required. It's low GI. You'll find full details of the menu plans for men and women in the PDF. But to give you an idea of what you might eat on a fast day, here's what you might have for breakfast. Perhaps half a tub of cottage cheese, one sliced pear, and one fresh fig. All of that would add up to 142 calories. Or perhaps a boiled egg and half a grapefruit. That would be 125. For dinner, you might have a chicken stir-fry, followed by a tangerine. That would amount to about 306 calories. Or perhaps a vegetarian chili, with lots of vegetables on the side too, about 378 calories. For breakfast, a boiled egg and a slice of ham is about 140 calories. Or scrambled eggs and smoked salmon, about 256. For supper, you might like to have tuna with beans and garlic. That would be about 255 calories if you had a little dash of olive oil with it too. Or perhaps a piece of oven-baked smoked haddock with spinach and a poached egg. That's about 325 calories. But for more details and more ideas, have a look in the PDF. These are not unusually small meals or difficult meals to prepare. These are normal, standard recipes. And when you have them on the plate, they really don't look too small.
The Fast Diet and Me. Through our website, tweets, emails, we have received numerous messages from people who have tried the fast diet and found it really works well for them. Here is just a small selection from our electronic mailbag.
The fast diet looks like a wonderful way of optimizing our well-being, our longevity, and a great way to lose weight too. As you say, it is so much more than just a diet. It is really a whole lifestyle, and importantly, one that can be followed with relative ease. I have several patients who've started to successfully follow the diet and think it is wonderful. I've also incorporated it into my own lifestyle, as have two other GP colleagues and several members of staff. Huge congratulations on a life-changing broadcast. Dr. Pete Bridgewood.
Dear Dr. Mosley, I watched your Horizon program, Eat Fast, Live Longer, with some interest, and my family and I decided to try the diet that you suggested. I'm a GP in my 50s, working in North London. My BMI was 29, but I'm otherwise healthy, though I do very little exercise. I was somewhat sceptical initially, but have managed to lose 13 pounds in 6 weeks, and find the diet very simple and easy to follow. I can see no reason why I would not continue in this way for many years. I've presented a summary of your program to a few colleagues, and have started to recommend it to some of my patients with startling results. One particular patient, who obviously has metabolic syndrome and a family history of type 2 diabetes, had a fasting glucose of 7.2. After only a few weeks, his fasting glucose dropped to 5.9, and he lost 11 pounds in weight. I would like to spread the word even further, and wondered if you had plans to design a simple leaflet or website that I could either give to my patients or direct them to view on the internet. I have difficulty explaining the diet in the short time at the end of one of my 10-minute consultations. I think that this type of manageable eating plan is likely to be so much more successful in managing the obesity epidemic than the current plans to traffic light and give fat and sugar contents on food packaging. I think it would be so much more useful to emphasize the calorie content of foods. Dr. John Brewerton.
Hi. I have been on IF now for the last 14 weeks. I have lost 9.4 pounds and 9.5 inches. On previous diets, I have never got below 140 pounds, 10 stone. Start weight, 145.6 pounds. Current weight, 136.4 pounds. Height, 5 foot 6 inches. Inch loss, bust, 1 1/4 inches. Midriff, 1/2 inch. Waist, 1 3/4. Abdomen, 2 1/2. Hips, 2 1/2. Thighs, 1/2 inch from each leg. Improvements other than weight loss. Eyes look brighter and clearer. More energy, sleeping better. Clearer head and better mental clarity. Although not tested, I feel that I can remember things more easily. Sarah Humphreys.
Hi. A busy mum with 3 children, I was finding losing weight after having my youngest child really difficult. It didn't help being constantly surrounded by food and snacks, preparing 3, sometimes 4 meals a day for the family. I enjoy food and socialising, so restrictive diets just felt like a chore and a battle of willpower every day, so it was never long before I was back to square one. The fast diet, for me, is a more manageable way to lose weight, both physically and emotionally, as it's only 2 days a week of being good and sticking to 500 calories. It also fits beautifully around my social life, as the fast days can be flexible, so I make sure it's a feast day when I'm out for drinks or meals. It's also not actually that hard to resist temptation for one day, as I know that the next day I can have a donut or a curry and a few glasses of wine if I really want. And when I do, I enjoy it even more without feeling guilty. The proof is literally in the pudding. I've been eating and enjoying them on feast days, but sticking to 500 calories on fast days, and I am still losing weight. This works. Claire Wilson. From Mumsnet, a UK discussion site. Just wanted to add that exercising whilst fasting was fine for me too. I spent an hour at the gym last night and felt good. Did 35 minutes on the cross trainer and some weights and didn't feel faint or dizzy. It's amazing how good I feel when fasting, actually. Don't call me Hun on mumsnet.com.
Yesterday I ate really well, as although I can eat what I like, I'm also thinking that I don't want to undo all my hard work. So I did have a bag of crisps, and I did have pork and apple sausages in cider for tea, with one of my daughter's homemade lemon pies afterwards. But I didn't have the ton of crap I normally have in between. I don't think I find the fast days too hard because of the relatively short tunnel and there being light at the end of it. Looking forward to a weekend of eating normally, though. I think part of what this plan is getting at is that we need to learn it's okay to feel hungry, and in fact it is an essential part of being slim. I speak as a lifelong overeater. The full feeling is so normal for me, and I had some weird fear about feeling hungry. Well, guess what? It's not the end of the world. I live in a city with stores everywhere. I can have food at any moment I want, so hunger isn't a sign I'm about to perish or get weak. During the last couple of months, I've been learning to embrace feeling hungry and being comfortable with that. It's a sign from my body to eat again soon, and hopefully that it is burning fat now. Not a sign to be feared. It's okay to feel hungry. Immediate death from starvation will not occur. Unhappy Hildebrand on mumsnet.com.
Dear Michael, everyone is doing so well. You can really do anything for a day. And with a bit of planning, I managed to plug most of my hunger pangs down to a manageable level. Scales were showing a good loss this morning. Any concerns I had on my exercise performance while fasting were scuppered this morning. I ran my fastest sustained pace ever, and that was following a 500-calorie fast day with no breakfast, only a coffee. I smell fat burning. I feel great, and will break the fast properly with lunch today. Next fast day is on Thursday. Good luck to everyone fasting today. Spring Goddess on mumsnet.com.
Dear Dr. Michael Mosley, I did day one yesterday, and I'm feeling brilliant this morning and full of energy. In the end, I just decided to go as long as I could without food. I drank tea with milk and black coffee and water throughout the day. I had some melon and strawberries at 4 p.m. Then a full dinner of 2 corn sausages, 1 boiled egg, 1 slice of toast, salad with a bit of balsamic vinegar. It tasted so good, but the fasting was easier than expected. Wasn't too hungry and just tried to keep busy during the day. Monday's Child 78 on mumsnet.com.
My day one yesterday also went brilliantly. I wasn't even ravenous when I woke up this morning. I was able to wait an hour before having some bourbon bread toast and peanut butter, and I struggled to finish it. I loved the feeling of emptiness in my tummy, and the hunger pangs were also enjoyable at times. Is this weird? My whole life I had eaten when I wasn't hungry, because I was so scared of having a single tummy rumble. I am weirdly looking forward to my next fast day. I love stripy socks on mumsnet.com.
For me, fasting, 600 calories twice a week, has changed my attitude to food and drink. It has broken a cycle of overindulgence which caused my weight to rise steadily for 30 years. We are creatures of habit, and without realizing it, slip into patterns of behavior which are difficult to change. But now something profound has happened. I perceive things more clearly, and there is something about this new state of mind which reminds me of how I felt in my 20s, when I had a BMI of around 22. I no longer feel comfortable if I've eaten too much, and I feel more in control. The habit is being broken. I suspect I will be on this diet, more or less, for the rest of my life. David Cleveley.
Hi. I am now 2 weeks into my 5-2 diet, and I am already seeing a positive effect on my weight. At my second weigh-in, I had lost a total of 5 pounds. Feel noticeably slimmer, and happy that I can maintain this for a long time to come. Stats. 5'10" male. Start weight, 191 pounds. Week 1, 188 pounds. Week 2, 186 pounds. Really enjoyed the programme. Nick Wilson.
Hi, Michael. Both my partner and I watched your programme and thought it was very interesting. So we decided to start 5-2 fasting on the following Monday. Always good to start new things on a Monday, I find. I have done liquid fasting in the past for weeks and really liked it. But then I put the weight back on again, I found. This seems to work better. Height, 5'4", Weight, 183 pounds. I'm not very fat as such, but I do need to lose weight, especially round my tummy and waist, the exact place where it's not good for you to be fat, I know. My aim is to get to 143 to 154 pounds. But at my age, it's not as easy to lose weight as it used to be when I was younger, according to my GP. 6th of August, 183 pounds. Started fasting. 8th of August, 180 and a half. 9th of August, 178 and a quarter. 14th of August, 178 and a quarter. 18th of August, 176. 23rd of August, 176. 27th of August, 175. 6th of September, 175. 13th of September, 172 and three quarters. 21st of September, 173 and three quarters. We both love the intermittent fasting. As you can see, I have lost some weight, and the only reason it has not gone quicker is the fact I have not done as much exercise as I set out to do originally. We will certainly continue, and I will keep weighing myself to check the progress. We also find it makes us want to eat less the adjacent days, too. We do our 2 days on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Come Thursday morning, I feel so light and full of energy, I don't want to spoil it by eating too much, even if it's my feeding day. We have our main fasting meal in the evening, as it's the time we see each other at home after work to settle down and talk over dinner. It's probably not ideal from a calorie-burning aspect, but it's more practical for us and suits us best. A typical fasting day main meal, corn on the cob as a starter, salmon fillet with garlic, lemon, herbs, salt and pepper, and a minimum amount of olive oil, or a two-egg omelette with onion, garlic, parsley and sliced mushrooms. Salad, various green salad leaves, tomatoes, red onion, herbs, maybe beetroot. Drink, water. During the day, we eat a banana and an apple. I'm really grateful for you making this programme and have passed it on to friends and family who have taken it on too. Britt Warg.
Hi, Dr. Mosley. OK, Fast 2 of Week 13 was completed yesterday, and as promised, here's an update for a whole quarter of intermittent fasting. The programme involves eating only 600 calories on two selected non-consecutive days of the week. Apart from the 2 days a week, that's it. The rest of the time, I eat and drink what I want. You don't need to exercise or count calories on a daily basis. You don't feel hungry 24/7, and best of all, you don't die of starvation. Tonight is Indian night, tomorrow is steak night, and Sunday is probably Italian. Every night is booze night. That doesn't sound like too onerous a regime to me. It's fair to say that my overall weekly calorie consumption, excluding fast days, has reduced. Not because I'm avoiding eating on the feed days, but purely because I'm just not as hungry. Over the past 13 weeks, I've been developing the regime to suit myself, and I've gotten to a fairly settled Monday and Thursday routine. I consume nothing at all during the day, apart from three or four teas, coffees, just marginally whitened, and about 1 to 1.5 litres of tap water. I come home, and I do a 10-mile thrash on a cycle turbo trainer. Last night, I did it in 30 minutes and 25 seconds, an average of 20 miles per hour for 30 minutes. Using that assumption, my 10-miler burns around 550 calories. By doing it before you eat on a fast day, the theory, I guess, is that you're forcing your body to burn body fat rather than the carbs it would normally turn to for a short burst of energy. Hunger-wise, well, it's okay. I eat late prior to a fast day, and that definitely helps. I find having even a small breakfast actually triggers hunger for the rest of the day, so I avoid everything until late on, when I have some flavoured rice, 240 calories, and the rest is vegetables. It's easily managed. You actually don't get hungrier throughout the day, and it's easy to take your mind off it by doing something. You do have to approach a fasting in the right mindset, though. If you don't, you'll have a pretty hellish time. Do it right, and it's really quite a doddle. So when I started the regime in mid-August, I was about 196 pounds, and on the last notch of my belt. I know that's not very scientific, and I wish I'd taken more measurements when I started, but hey-ho. This morning, I tipped the scales at 177 pounds, and the fourth notch on my belt is quite comfortable. The third is a wee bit loose. One notch equals just over 1 inch. The goal without exercise would be to lose a pound a week, given that a 4,000 weekly calorie restriction equals roughly 1 pound of body fat. With the 1 hour of exercise a week, I accelerated it by almost 50% to 19 pounds in the same period. I'm keeping going until Christmas, where I hope to go to 5 to 1 plus 1, the plus 1 being an 800 or 900 calorie day. If that works, then I'll stay on that for the rest of my time. I went for a cycle last Sunday after having a full breakfast, and it was incredibly easy. Loads of speed, the hills were actually fun, and apart from the chilliness, it was extremely enjoyable. The benefit of being fitter and having a fueled-up body, I guess. Loads of energy. Other benefits? I've suffered from asthma since I was a child. It's nowhere near as bad as it was when I was a kid, but now it's practically disappeared. My peak flow reading has gone up by over 30% in the 13 weeks, probably as a result of the weight loss allowing me to exercise harder. A wee bit girly here, but I'd say my skin complexion has improved dramatically. No zits or blackheads. Even the touch of dry skin in my elbows has gone. David Norvell.
Dear Dr. Moseley, I'm a neurophysiology and pharmacology student researching Parkinson's. Inspired by the Horizon programme, I decided to self-experiment. This has now blossomed into a project that will be run at my university. I'm interested in data, neurodegenerative disorders, and what steps I can take in my own lifestyle that will decrease my occurrence of breast cancer. I am a two-time, and counting, breast cancer patient, so I'm rather interested in what impact, if any, intermittent fasting could have on recurrence. From my blog, www.shrokit.wordpress.com. It's not a diet. So, 7 weeks into 5-2, or 2-5 as I like to call it, since I think of my weeks starting with fasting and then 5 days of eating, and still going strong. I'm a little over a stone down, with Mr. Shrokit not too far behind. He keeps calling his jeans fat man trousers, since he needs to do up his belt a few extra notches inwards. Because the overall difference in my appearance and results is so easy to see, though people keep asking me if I've changed my hair, got new glasses, etc., they can't seem to pin down the weight loss, but I'm getting compliments galore. When I talk about people fasting, they seem very keen to give it a go. In fact, many of Mr. Shrokit's colleagues are on this so-called diet and finding it very eye-opening about their own eating habits. But it's not a diet. The best description I've heard so far is from blog commenter Gordon. It's a strategy, to quote him, and I can't think of a better word. Aside from eating a healthy, balanced diet, whatever all the trendy diet books tell you, weight control is really about the aggregate number of calories you consume in the long run. The thing that fasting does seem to do is to help one get back in touch with actual appetite. For example, hungry versus bored, or hungry versus tired, hungry versus craving, and most of all hungry versus thirsty, all seem a bit more obvious after fasting a couple of days. Nicole Slavin.
Hi, Michael. I've been doing the intermittent fasting diet for about 3 months now, and wrote about it on my blog, Helena's London Life. When I was younger and living in Helsinki, I did a few complete fasting sessions with my father. This fast would last 5 days, and we were only allowed to drink fruit juices on the first and last days, so I thought I knew what I was getting into. But this diet, which basically means you eat less on 2 days per week, is much easier. You're allowed 500 calories, 600 for men, so unfair, which, when you think about it, isn't that bad. And unlike the fasts of my youth, on this one, you're allowed to drink coffee. Coffee is the one thing I cannot give up these days. I've been doing the fasting for about 3 months now and have lost 11 pounds. I feel so much better on it, not only because of the weight loss, but because I seem to have more energy and control over my eating. After the initial shock to the system, your stomach actually contracts and you feel less hungry, more aware of how much you eat on any given day, whether it is one of the two or one of the 5 days of the week. So here are my 5 tips to successfully do this diet. 1. Do not fast on consecutive days. It's too hard, and I find the second day in a row grueling. And don't do weekends. We tried a Friday and nearly killed each other. 2. Get busy. The more you have to think about something else other than food, the easier it is. I work from home half the week, so I try to fast when I'm in the office. And don't watch Nigella Lawson on TV while fasting. She's like a domestic devil to me on one of my 2 days. 3. Get yourself an app. I use MyFitnessPal, which is a simple tool to count calories. A notepad is equally good, but for those of you like me who love apps, this one also records the foods you've consumed, the exercise you take, and the weight you are losing, and predicts what you would lose in 5 weeks if each day was like the one you've just recorded. 4. Don't be too hard on yourself. I have missed a couple of fasting days during the past 3 months. Just because you do that, there is no need to throw in the towel. There's always tomorrow or next week. 5. Don't go alone. Doing this with someone is so much easier. Some weeks, because of schedules, my husband and I have had to do different days and it just doesn't work. As you see, my experiences have been positive. What I didn't mention on my blog is that my husband has high cholesterol, which is an inherited condition and the main reason we went on this diet. He didn't need to lose more than a couple of kilos in weight. He's always been a racing snake. So now he makes sure he increases his calorie intake, healthily with homemade smoothies, during the 5 days. Helena Halmer.
Dear Michael, we've been fasting since the beginning of September, and it has worked for me in terms of weight loss and generally feeling healthier. I was 130 pounds, and now I'm 112 pounds, Note, I'm 5'1". My partner has gone from 209 pounds to hovering around 192 pounds. We find it is easy to stick to with a bit of planning. Even during the Christmas season, I'm finding it much easier to manage than other eating plans. It seems like something we could stick to in the long term, even if we go down to once a week on some weeks. For now, twice a week works fine. We end up splitting our calories into 3 meals. I'm vegetarian, so we usually stick to soups and salads. In winter, it is basically 3 meals of soup, or a banana or an egg for breakfast plus 2 soup meals. During warmer months, we had salad for lunch to mix it up. I've converted quite a few people already. We all agree that we go to bed a little bit earlier and certainly looking forward to the breakfast more than usual. Sometimes I vow to have the biggest, unhealthiest breakfast the next morning, but I always just end up having toast or cereal. The main limitation I have found is exercise. I used to exercise most days, and now I need to plan exercising around the fast days. I do Pilates or weights on fasting days, and stick to cardio on other days. Luella Charles.
Dear Dr. Moseley, I watched Eat, Fast, Live Longer on BBC iPlayer in early August. It made good sense to me, and I persuaded my husband to watch it too. Since then, we have been following the fasting schedule, with 500 calories for me and 600 for him, most weeks. But not every week, as sometimes we are only able to fit in a fast a week. Our main motivation is for health benefits as we age. We are in our mid-50s. Both sets of our parents are still alive. Mine are 80, and his are 92 and 86. So genetically, we could live fairly long lives. We want those lives to be as healthy as possible. So far, we have both lost weight, 16 pounds for me and 12 pounds for him, and find the fast days fairly easy. But we have both found that we do not overeat on the other days. In fact, I bought a 4-finger Kit Kat for the first time in months yesterday, ate only one finger and put the rest in my bag for later. Absolutely unheard of for me, as I have struggled with a very healthy appetite and have had an unhealthy BMI measurement for most of my life. We have not had our IGF-1 measured, but we are both on high blood pressure medication, and my husband is on high cholesterol medication. We are hopeful that we will see an improvement in these conditions when we next visit our GPs. I actually find this way of eating much easier than any diet I have tried before. I can move the fast days around to cope with our social life. From a later email. As an update, I have now lost 20 pounds and am still finding the whole way of eating easy to do. On our fast days, we generally have a cooked breakfast, eggs or porridge, and then in the early evening, a vegetable-heavy salad in the summer or vegetable soup in the winter. My husband generally has a slice of bread as his extra 100 cals. We have maintained this way of eating since we saw the original programme and expect to continue, possibly with an interruption for Christmas. Maureen Johnston.
Thank you, Michael, for bringing this leading-edge science to our attention. We now feel in control of our health and weight for the first time in many years, and I'm committed to continuing the programme for life. Brian M.
Dear Dr. Moseley, not shy about age, size, weight, etc. I only really had a little to lose in comparison to some people, so the health benefits are where I was most interested. I lost my mum to breast cancer at 14, so the cancer-avoiding benefits are something that appealed. I am 38, but with every year that passed, I was getting heavier, so weighing in at £144 on 1st Jan 2012, I pledged a plan of eat less, move more, determined to lose some weight. A shoulder injury curtailed the move more element, and my swimming and squash routine dried up, but in August I watched the Horizon programme that changed my attitude forever. Dr. Moseley, in his unique human guinea pig style, introduced me to ADF and 5-2 lifestyles, and with the support of Facebook groups and personal research, I have stuck to an alternate day diet ever since. At 5'2", I wanted to get to £120 or so by 2013. The hardest part about regular dieting was combining eating times and portions with my family. The option of fasting means I skip out breakfast and lunch and eat a normal portion of healthy food at dinner time. The first few weeks were hard. Trying to keep hydrated was tricky, but the most curious thing was my initial reaction in the first few days. I consider myself to have a healthy attitude to food, and so I was alarmed at the mild panic I experienced on my first week of fasting. I cannot eat. Once I realised I wasn't going to die, and my energy levels didn't crash, I began to relax, enjoy, and now even look forward to my fast days. Some of my best gym sessions are on restricted days, and the absence of food really has helped clear my mind and improve my focus. And as for weight loss, I am sure I am single-handedly keeping the UK retail economy going. I have bought the same little black dress in 3 different sizes as the weight has dropped off. I have bought a whole new gym wardrobe and I'm loving the positive comments I'm getting. I am now evangelising about this to all friends and colleagues at work, some who are very sceptical and usually start with the response, "Ooh, I couldn't last all day without food." But trust me, really, you can, and when you do realise how simple it is, it gets easier and easier. My mantra to my friends is, "You only diet for a day." And the best bit, I really can eat all my favourite foods, pizza, curry, cheese, wine, without gaining weight or feeling guilty. It's a lifestyle for me now, which means I will never need to diet again. Tara McLaughlin.
I've followed the 5-2 diet ever since watching Michael Moseley's Horizon programme. It's radically changed my attitude to food and hunger. I feel more energetic, and losing nearly a stone has been a delightful plus. I'm not the sort of person to follow reducing diets. It was the science that interested me. I know an amazing number of other people who also wouldn't diet, but who are intermittent fasting. I actually value the fasting days in a way I never thought I would, which makes them easy to stick to. I don't intend to ever drop it. Susie White.
At Dr. Michael Moseley. Thank you for changing my lifestyle. Converted a bunch of people to ADF 5-2. Thanks to you, Horizon, and at Feed Fast Feast FB group. At Sticky Pippa.
At Dr. Michael Mosley. As for me, have been I fasting since your programme, changed my attitude to food and hunger, feel energetic and lost nearly 14 pounds. Susie White at Cottage Gardener.
At Dr. Michael Mosley. After 4 months on 5-2, agree with your doc assessment. This could change the world. Your book should fuel the revolution. At @alert_bry.
At Dr. Michael Mosley. Overheard mums in playground today talking about you and 5-2. It's really catching on. Pleased, as I've been doing it for ages. At Alicia1980.
Thanks. We found the show very inspirational, and from what people have tweeted us, lots of others did too. Love your shows. At Valar Wellbeing.
That's it from Mimi and me. Good luck with the intermittent fasting, and I do hope it goes well.
The fast diet has changed both of our lives. We hope it will do the same for you.
The Fast Diet, Lose Weight, Stay Healthy, and Live Longer with the Simple Secret of Intermittent Fasting was written and read by Dr. Michael Mosley and Mimi Spencer. It was recorded at Sands Walk Studios in Clerkenwell, London. The emails and tweets were read by Morven Christie, Jenny Leo, Jordan Killiard, Pat Saunders, Susan Slade, and Neville Wenlock. The photographs in the accompanying PDF are by Romas Ford. The text is copyright Parenting Matters Limited and Mimi Spencer, 2013. Recording copyright, Strathmore Publishing Limited, 2013. Photographs copyright, Romas Ford, 2013. All rights reserved. The Fast Diet was directed by Nicholas Jones and produced by Strathmore Publishing in association with Short Books. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. The Fast Diet is available in hardcover from Atria.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.